group of the World Congress on Anti-Aging Medicine with 7,000 scientists.
Oh, I'll never forget the day. I'll never forget the day. All these people just sat there with their mouths hanging open to see Maureen McGovern, who had completely reversed end-stage Alzheimer's, having a conversation, talking to people about her experience, how she felt shut in the shell of her head, not being able to process information after being a curator at a museum, and all of a sudden going to a state of like, she was like a vegetable. She just was sitting there staring out into space, couldn't function, and now she's functioning again. And to have a little boy who couldn't function at all in school to becoming student of the month, becoming an A student, and really starting to use his brain for the first time, really to be his absolute best. It was amazing to see, and people just sat there stunned. And of course I got up there and I rattled off all the things. The acne is gone. My skin looks better now than it did 20 years ago. My candida reversed. Herpes 1 and 2 gone. Chronic fatigue syndrome, I don't need caffeine anymore because I don't have chronic fatigue anymore. Cytomegalovirus, completely reversed. Polycystic ovaries, absolutely stable now. No more cysts in my breast. Pneumonia, no more. I don't have any upper respiratory infections ever. My adrenals are all rebuilt. I feel a whole lot stronger. I sleep better. My thyroid completely evened itself out. It's fine. I don't have any more symptoms of hypothyroid, and you know that. Hair loss, exhaustion. I'm menopausal now, and people would never know it because I'm following the protocols in your book, Gary. And my weight I look better now than I did in high school when I was an athlete in high school. And it's because I'm following the information, and not only the information in the book, but also the whole lifestyle protocol. And when you add a healthy lifestyle foundation, you add to that the specialized protocols that you have in the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing, it's a no-brainer. When you give the body what it needs to heal itself, it'll heal itself. And I'm living proof of that. Reversing the Lyme disease besides pause. I've done 4 New York City marathons. I've won medals in track and field. And I'm doing things I never imagined I could even do.
That's great.
So I'm very thankful that we have you here. We are so very lucky to have you back on WBAI. I know a lot of people are benefiting from your information, and I know I sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Lou Anne Panessi. By the way, if you can reach out to Maureen McGovern, I have no way of reaching her, ask her to call in, because no one in this audience, no doctor in America, no scientist on the planet, no one ever has seen a reversal of end-stage Alzheimer's. I want people to see what is possible, because it's just like the four-minute mile. Every single mechanical engineering expert, biophysics expert, said it was not possible for the human body to break a four-minute mile running until Bannister did it. I believe it was 1958, 358-something, and then suddenly everyone else did it. Well, why didn't anyone do it before him? But he was right, they were wrong. I'm going to show the new paradigm with multiple sclerosis. Now, you were there. You saw Kenny. Did you hear Kenny's letter from his wife about the complete reversal of his multiple sclerosis?
Oh, yes. And she was very skeptical. And she really resisted. And he did, too. But when he actually engaged the protocol, my God, this guy he's got a whole new life. He's got a whole new life ahead of him now, a whole new lifestyle. And, by the way, I don't know if you've shared this with people, he's become a gourmet vegan chef. He's doing all his own recipes, and he's sharing it with people in the neighborhood. And he's so excited that his food is helping him to get stronger and stronger every day. It's not like the food that we see out there that's toxifying our livers and affecting our pancreas, so we set ourselves up for stage, you know, 2 diabetes, type 2 diabetes. No, we're eating food that gives our body what it needs to work on our behalf. And all that information is right in the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. It's that easy.
Thank you very much, Lou Ann. And if you're able to reach out to Marie McGovern and ask her to call in the same number that you called in for to reach Michael G. Haskins. All right?
I sure will.
Okay, well, there's a live person who's in the health field helping thousands of people who had worked in Orthodox medicine as a leading nurse and supervisor who saw the system, ended up with a whole lot of problems that are non-reversible medically, and today she has none of them. She's a completely different person. Her name is Lou Ann Panessi. So everything is completely transparent. She does not work for me. She works for herself. But when I can't tell you, I must have, oh my goodness, I get thousands, tens of thousands of letters and emails per week, and an awful lot of them are people who have gotten better and just want to let me know. So I want to know that you have a chance now. We're down to about 200 of the books left, and we have 2 hours to go. So give a call now to get the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing, this humongous book that has everything you need for so many conditions, to make improvements, to turn things around, or to prevent conditions. The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. And Michael G., please give the number again.
All right, Gary, thank you. That number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. You're listening to The Gary Null Show on WBAI and WBAI.org on the web. 212-209-2950. The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing by Gary Null, a pledge of $100. Thank you for those calls coming in right now. We're going to be on with Gary until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Don't wait. Volunteers are standing by. We have about seven, eight calls coming in right now for the Gary Null Show for these premiums. These premiums are simply thank you gifts to you for supporting this commercial-free radio station, for supporting the Gary Null Show with Gary Null. Thank you for those calls coming in. Remember, we need volunteers throughout midnight tonight. Throughout midnight tonight, we're located at 120 Wall Street. That's WBAI 120 Wall Street. We're on the 10th floor. Call ahead, but do make your calls right now to WBAI. 212-209-2950.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, could you please check to see how many people we actually have back there? And while you're going back, I'll just continue talking with people here for a few minutes.
Will do, Gary. Sure.
Thank you. Because I want to make sure that if we don't have enough people, that people don't get frustrated and hang up. It's time to be a little patient. And also, my office just informed me that to my query that I'm going to be doing on a regular basis, depends upon how many we get, commentaries from the audience, solutions from the audience. The first one came in, Michael G. This is from Bertram Cohen, and it says, Gary, in response to your request for practical solutions, I offer an article I wrote about energy independence. It explains why all sides are failing to solve the problem that has already been solved, but it is blocked due to politics by all parties, including the so-called progressives. You'll be able to see breakthrough energy technologies that no one is talking about and to learn why the solutions are being blocked behind a media blackout. P.S. Many ordinary Americans have come up with solutions to many other problems that face our society, but the political establishment is not interested in listening, and no mechanism is in place to invite their submissions and to evaluate them. Many companies have long had employee suggestion programs, but our brain-dead government is unable to copy this simple idea. Okay, now I don't know what it is, but at least that's the first, and evidently there's a full article that went to Kara Lee. So again, anyone in this audience who believes that you have constructive insight to the problems and most importantly the solutions to help us in any area of life, please send those to Kara Lee, that's K-A-R-A-L-E-E, at GaryNull.com. Kara Lee at GaryNull.com. Kara Lee is our program director. Now, once a day, I spend some time, generally when I'm traveling, downloading and reading all this. And I have a 7-hour drive from 11 o'clock tonight till early in the morning to our next location. That's when I'll do my reading. So I look forward, Bertram, to reading your article on energy independence. And anyone else, please send them. Now, once I have evaluated them and see that I believe there's legitimacy to them, I will then put them on the air, and I'll post them on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com's website. So thank you, and it's appreciated, and it's begun. And hopefully we'll have a lot more to go with this. I believe the public needs a forum that's open to them that does not in any way limit a person based upon their body politics, economics, or anything else. If it's a good idea, I don't care where it comes from, I will share it with the audience. Give the number one more time, please.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. The Gary Null Show with Gary Null on WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. 212-209-2950.
Thank you, Michael G. And Michael G., I'll be back in a few minutes. I'm going to talk about arthritis now. And this is, I'm quoting verbatim from the chapter on arthritis in the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing, just to show you that I don't believe in superficial approaches. I believe in definitive approaches. 40 million Americans experience the painful, crippling effects of arthritis diseases. Of that number, about 16 million have osteoarthritis, and about 7 are afflicted with rheumatoid arthritis. Many others suffer from less common forms of the condition. Now, osteoarthritis, the most common form of the disease, is the form that usually plagues older individuals, but now we're seeing it in younger people as well. Why? Because of overuse of the joints or accidents or trauma, but also now inflammation. Inflammatory condition affecting any of the 68 joints in the body. It occurs as the spongy cushioning at the end of the bones known as the cartilage breakdown. Now, cartilage is encapsulated in a structure called the synovium. Now, the synovium functions to lubricate the area between the bones and to nourish the cartilage. As cartilage wears away, this ceases to act as a shock absorber, and bones touch one another, resulting in stiffness, swelling, and painful friction. Rheumatoid arthritis is more of a systemic disease than osteoarthritis. It is also characterized by painful, swollen joints, but differs from osteoarthritis in that the synovial membrane becomes inflamed and extra fluid leaks into the joints. The result is pain and swelling. Sometimes the whole body, not just the joints, is affected. Early signs can include fatigue, weakness, mild fever, and anemia. Women between the ages of 18 and 50 are this condition's prime targets, although 25% of those affected are also men. At times, onset is sudden and symptoms are severe. On other occasions, no symptoms manifest. At its worst, rheumatoid arthritis can be crippling. Less common forms of arthritis include gouty arthritis, which occurs when excess uric acid crystallizes and settles into the joints and tissues. The condition affects mainly men who experience pain and inflammation in the joints, accompanied by fever and chills. The disease can become crippling and even, if untreated, can lead to joint breakdown. And then you have juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, generally attacks the larger joints of children and may result in bone deformity. And ankylosing spondylosis is an inflammation of the vertebrae that causes back pain and stiffness, and especially in younger males. Now, what are the causes? Well, there are many. First, let's look at allergies. Arthritis is usually an allergic reaction to foods and substances in the environment. Generally, the foods people eat all the time are the ones to which they are allergic. For many, for example, milk, beef, corn, wheat, soy, sugars, things that are eaten every day. And many react to materials breathed in, such as dust, mold, danders, or pollen. And since exposures continue on invisible, and the effects are not always immediate, most people do not make the connection and thus do not know how to eliminate problem-causing substances. Why do allergies in some people affect the joints while in others they affect the lungs, and someone else the stomach, and someone else the skin? The reason has to do with genetic predisposition. Different people have different areas of weakness. So when the body becomes weak from an allergy infection, yeast, or some other cause, the most vulnerable area is the one that suffers. Sometimes more than one system becomes affected at once. For example, after drinking milk, a person may experience both arthritis and asthma. Then you have environmental toxicity. The body can weaken from continual exposure to poisonous substances in the environment, like pesticides, artificial coloring, preservatives in food, chlorine, gases in your shower water, fluoride in your water. These substances enter the bloodstream and cause autotoxemia, which leads to arthritic changes. An invisible energy is out there is called electromagnetic radiation, which can trigger an arthritic reaction. And cell phones and computers are your two most common ways of being susceptible to this. I have personally counseled many people who could not understand why they had such pain and swelling, including young people in their hands, their fingers, their wrists. Then I ask them, which hand do you use to use your cell phone? Oh, it's this hand, the same hand that's stiff, that's swollen. What's the cell phone in my hand have to do with my pain? Maybe nothing, maybe everything. Try this. Put your cell phone on speaker, or better still, use a Bluetooth or some form of earpiece where the cell phone is at least 2 feet away from the body. But don't hold it in that hand. Lo and behold, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, gee whiz, pain's gone, stiffness gone, swelling's down. Ah, then we understand the environmental toxic reaction in your particular body. Then we have chronic infections, a proliferation of pathogenic bacteria, viruses, yeast, and fungi, and parasites can be a cofactor contributing to arthritis. Bad fats like trans fats and refined carbohydrates ferment and create an environment in the intestine that invites Candida albicans, unhealthy bacteria, and parasitic growth. And some of the bacteria produce toxins that attack joints. The result is acute inflammation or a slow destruction of the joint cartilage. Chronic infections are also the result of heavy metal poisoning from lead, cadmium, and the mercury that leaches out of dental amalgams. Symptoms. Well, the symptoms of osteoarthritis increase as the disease progresses. In the beginning, there are no indications. The first sign to appear is usually joint pain, and it is commonly associated with exercising or carrying of weighty items. Other signs may include inflexibility when getting out of bed in the morning and when the weather is cold and damp. As the disease progresses, swelling and inflammation of the joints may occur, and if muscles are underused from a lack of exercise, you're going to end up with fatigue, loss of motion, and leg cramps. The signs of rheumatoid arthritis also worsen gradually. At first, there are vague feelings of ill health. Later, symptoms specific to the disease appear, such as joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and redness. Joints may become warm to the touch, and stiffness may follow periods of inactivity. Weakness and deterioration can eventually spread to the heart and the lungs. Now, let's look at traditional treatment. Conventional treatments within orthodox medicine consistently maintain that arthritis is an incurable disease. Therapies for osteoarthritis are therefore geared towards alleviating only symptoms, not to stopping degenerative processes. Treatments can include rest, exercise, heat, surgery, including joint replacement and rehabilitation. Mostly, though, conventional medicine practice relies on various drugs. Arthritis medications are primarily painkillers or anti-inflammatories, which can have serious side effects. How serious? In any given year, over 24,000 Americans die just from the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like aspirin that they take to eliminate the pain from arthritis. You heard me right, 24,000 dead per year. Now, you'd think that that would draw some attention, that people would realize, how in the world can we justify killing 24,000 people where it's not even a news story? It's on no one's let's do something about it radar. It's not important. How in the world can we kill 24,000 Americans with a simple treatment like aspirin and other nonsteroidal, and no one care about it? Well, that's one of the dangers of an orthodox approach. Remember, even aspirin, which is routinely given, can cause dangerous situations, dizziness, ringing in the ears, intestinal tract bleeding, kidney damage, lowered immunity, and it also destroys folic acid, B complex, and vitamin C, hence a rise in homocysteine level, which then makes you more susceptible to dying of cancer or heart disease. As aspirin fails to work, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory medications such as Motrin are generally given in its place. Now, although it may be slightly less harmful than steroidal drugs containing cortisone, these produce many of the same side effects as aspirin, including gastrointestinal bleeding, peptic ulcers, ringing in the ears, and dizziness, and in addition, nausea, nervousness, and vomiting. And when nonsteroidals fail, drugs that contain cortisone, such as prednisone, are given. These medications are notorious for their side effects. These are killers. They interfere with the immune system directly, leaving a person defenseless against infections and other diseases, thereby making healing impossible. Some rheumatologists give gold injections. At some time, this treatment fell out of favor because it was considered too dangerous. Unfortunately, more and more doctors are using it again. The intent with using gold is to destroy the immune response. Doing so, however, can lead to massive infections. These treatments totally miss the mark. Not only do they fail to reach the cause of the arthritis, but they also become increasingly expensive, invasive, and toxic. Now compare that to the natural treatments. Natural medicine reports much success in reversing arthritis because it addresses the cause of the problem as opposed to just masking the symptoms. The consumer should be aware that not all claims for natural arthritis treatment are valid, but a number of them do work and can be scientifically validated. Some methods that can produce favorable results would include the anti-arthritis diet. Now, to prevent and combat arthritis, the types of foods that we should be eating most often are the complex carbohydrates and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. Why? Because they're highly alkalizing. It is my experience that the arthritic sufferer is generally in a highly acidic or local acidosis state. I want to reverse that and get them into an alkaline state. And to do that, I have to lessen the amount of protein. I have to give them rich folic acid foods like lentils, split peas, barley, alfalfa, oats, garlic, onions, which are high in sulfur, stop inflammation, and olive oil, avocados, walnuts, pine nuts, pistachios, macadamias, sunflower seeds, chia seeds, and sunflower seeds are good for their oils. Soy products that are not genetically engineered and organic, such as tofu, tempeh, and miso, are high in methionine, which it benefits. And foods that break apart and eliminate uric acid, dandelion greens, wheatgrass, parsley and alfalfa and watercress, plenty of pure drinking water, juices from red, yellow, green, purple vegetables and fruits, 6 to 8 times a day, rich in phytonutrients. And then another is I am not an advocate of Dr. James D'Amato's blood type diet for a simple reason, though some may have benefited from it. I put 2,000 different people on it and found that giving them all the same identical diet, they all benefited. Well, so much for the blood type. Herbs, many natural aids can be grown right in your own backyard. Alfalfa, rich in chlorophyll, making it an excellent blood purifier, and by eliminating uric acid, it helps relieve joint pain. If you're taking this in tablet form, I would suggest taking it twice a day. Aloe vera, whole leaf aloe vera. By cleansing the intestines, aloe vera rids the body of toxins, and it's also strongly anti-inflammatory and very good for your immune system. bone set. And as its name implies, this herb can relieve aches and pains in the bones themselves. Boswellia. Many consider this botanical to be the most natural remedy for treating arthritis. In fact, its healing properties are recorded in Ayurvedic medicine going back thousands of years. Boswellia works much like non-steroidal anti-inflammatory compounds without the side effects. Additionally, it stimulates repair by increasing circulation in the joints. Burdock root. This is a blood cleanser that is especially good for helping patients with gout. Cayenne pepper. Good old hot cayenne pepper. This is a very popular arthritis remedy used worldwide. It can be taken internally in a capsule or a tea or a tincture, and it can be used externally in liniments. If used as a spice, cayenne should be sprinkled on food after cooking to prevent irritation. Comfrey promotes healing of the bone's fibrous coverings. Devil's claw, one of the best herbs for healing joints. It removes deposits and helps eliminate uric acid from the body. Ginger, traditionally used as an Ayurvedic herb, it is capable of relieving pain caused by arthritic joints. Nettle leaves can be crushed and made into a poultice to stop rheumatic pain. Prickly ash bark, good for rheumatism and arthritis as a blood purifier, gets rid of deposits in the joints. White willow bark, nature's aspirin, alleviates joint pain. And yucca, researchers suggest that vaccines from yucca may be valuable for alleviating symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis. Now, supplements are also important, and as I've been mentioning, there's a big difference in preventing something and in treating it. With this, you get the benefit of both. For example, the antioxidant vitamins A, C, E, counter inflammation and stop free radical damage in joints. Among its many benefits, vitamin C is an essential nutrient for joint cartilage repair, especially when taken in combination with glucosamine. Bowel tolerance doses can be taken daily or in divided amounts throughout the day. Anywhere from 2,000 to 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C, generally 400 international units of vitamin E and 50,000 units of vitamin A or beta carotene each day during this period of time for about a month can make an enormous difference in reducing arthritic pain. In cases of advanced arthritis, patients benefit from intravenous vitamin C. Niacinamide. This is a form of vitamin B3, helps both osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. And for the best results, 150 to 250 milligrams should be taken before a meal, three or four times daily. Effects are not immediate, but result in a gradual reduction of symptoms and improved range of motion over time. Niacinamide is not to be confused with niacin, which is used for lowering cholesterol and schizophrenia. Pantothenic acid, or vitamin B5, this is especially helpful for people with gout. Other B vitamins of note, including a B-complex supplement with approximately 150 milligrams of B6, 50 milligrams B2, 15 to 50 milligrams B1. Chondroitin sulfate is a molecular cement that holds together cartilage, allowing collagen proteins to form actual tissue. It both helps prevent damage from arthritis and at the same time stimulates repair. Cod oil. In generations past, this was a well-known remedy for arthritis. Although its popularity has declined, it's still a remedy nonetheless. Gamma-linolenic acid, or GLA, is a rich prostaglandin-forming nutrient, and it can turn off pain and stop inflammation. It is contained in evening primrose oil, borage seed oil, and black currant seed oil. All forms are equally beneficial, but some are less expensive. Six capsules of evening primrose oil or one capsule of borage seed oil provide the needed 250 milligrams of GLA. Glucosamine. This is one of the most important nutrients for repairing joint cartilage and tissue damage. It is sold as glucosamine sulfate and glucosamine hydrochloride, and both work equally well. Now, since glucosamine is a substance that each cell in the body naturally produces, it is perfectly safe to use. 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams should be taken daily, divided in two or three doses. Grapeseed extract is rich in antioxidant phytopignogenol and is known to strengthen collagen and support capillaries and veins. The omega-3 fatty acids. Now, these are anti-inflammatory, making them especially useful in the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. Salmon oil, wild salmon oil, is one good source. A vegetarian source is flaxseed oil, which is also rich in important omega-6 and omega-9 fatty acids, making it complete in polyunsaturated acids. Three capsules daily are generally recommended. If omega-3 fatty acids are taken as an oil, a tablespoon can be added to salads, but should not be cooked. Then we get to the minerals. Generally, people don't think about how we absorb calcium, phosphorus, magnesium. These are all essential for the formation of healthy bones. Zinc and selenium are important for the immune system. Also, new findings suggest that 3 to 6 milligrams of boron may actually reverse symptoms of osteoarthritis. Other needed nutrients are potassium, copper, and manganese. It's important to note that since the typical American diet does not contain adequate minerals, taking it eventually results in damage to the joints. A whole foods diet, on the other hand, that is rich in raw fruits, vegetables, juices, nuts, seeds, is in combination with multiple vitamins and minerals, can make a positive effect. Then SOD, superoxide dismutase, should be taken on an empty stomach with water about a half hour before meals. This enhances energy and reduces pain and inflammation. SAMe, that's S-adenosylmethionine. This is an activated form of methionine that seems to restore T-cell activity to the synovial fluid by reversing glutathione depletion. SAMe also inhibits damage of the cartilage and even stimulates cartilage growth. Doses range from 400 to 1,200 milligrams. MSM. After water and sodium, MSM, a natural sulfur, is one of the most significant components of the body. Taking 2 to 3,000 milligrams a day can reduce inflammation and muscle spasm, enhance blood flow, and help the immune system to normalize itself. DHEA. Recent studies have reported that DHEA and other adrenal hormones is significant in treating rheumatoid arthritis. Reports indicate that adrenal hypodysfunction may be a precursor to rheumatoid arthritis, and this is more so in women than men. This is a noteworthy situation because the vast majority of those suffering from rheumatoid arthritis are women. Therefore, replacing DHEA in women suffering from this condition is absolutely essential. Vitamin K2 and vitamin K3, 5 to 10 milligrams daily, could add to the protection against inflammation in the body. Next, rutin. This natural anti-inflammatory plant extract helps to relieve aching and stiff and sore joints. Copper. Studies show that in terms of anti-inflammatory capabilities, copper surpassed aspirin. It should be taken in small amounts, not large amounts. Curcumin. Extract from a plant similar to ginger. Curcumin is successful in blocking autoimmune activation and decreasing tissue distraction. A small amount of piperine enhances the bioavailability of curcumin. Inflation. There's been much research focusing on getting at the heart of the cause of arthritis and other inflammatory disorders. And these studies not only seek to attack inflammation from within, but also desire to fight it from without. The latter approach has resulted in the discovery by scientists at BioZone Laboratories of a new group of compounds called inflacin, and when inflacin was topically applied to patients, it relieved the pain normally associated with arthritis. Now, I'm going to stop there because I'm only halfway through. I didn't get into balancing hormones, detoxification, allergy testing, homeopathy, intra-articular growth hormone, neuromuscular therapy, testimonies. I didn't get into any of that. That's just half of a chapter. So when I tell you that this is the definitive book on all conditions, that just gives you an idea of how much information a person is getting from the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing.
Yeah, Gary, I just wanted you to know a couple of things as we approach the top of the hour. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. The Gary Null Show with Gary Null. Gary Null usually airs between 12 and 1 o'clock Monday through Friday. However, we're offering, as Gary just talked about, read portions of just a chapter on arthritis, the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. It's a book for $100. The number is 212-209-2950. We also have Maureen McGovern on the line. She's standing by. She's waiting to speak to you, Gary, as well. As we approach, we only have another 58 minutes before we'll have to break away. So make your calls right now to WBAI, this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station. And Gary Null is on this radio station with us, sharing information, and we're talking about his book, The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. It's a book for $100, supporting WBAI, supporting The Gary Null Show with Gary Null. Make your calls now, tax deductible, 212-209-2950. Gary?
Now, let's go over and say hello to Marie McGovern. You heard me mention her earlier. Hi, Marie.
Hello, Dr. Null. How are you doing today?
Good. Maureen, I'm going to keep quiet and let you tell your story about where you were in your life with autism, or excuse me, with Alzheimer's, what it means to have Alzheimer's, what your limitations were, what were you able and not able to do, and where your life was going at that point, where you had been treated before then. And then what has happened since you've been following the protocols? Could you tell us your story, please?
Yes, I'll try to be brief. I realize that some of your audience has heard me before, some has not. I want to thank you for saving my life. I'm sure many people in your audience have relatives who have this disease, and it's an ugly one. At the time that you met me, as a last effort, I could not read, write, dress myself. I could barely read. I couldn't follow a video. I couldn't dress myself. So I was brought to your health support group as a way of meeting you personally. And you took one look at me, and you had them bring me back at 8 o'clock in the morning. You gave me a protocol, and you know that
okay,
I
okay, well, Gary Null and this recording have been on the air since midnight, and actually, the schedule, as far as we can tell here live at WBAI, is that Robert Knight tonight was scheduled to be on, and something that he pre-recorded from midnight to 2, and I, Jim Freund, from 2 until 5. I've been spending the last, like 90 minutes since I got into the station talking, arguing with our station manager. Why is our station manager here at this hour? Well, it's not to argue with me. It's because he's doing the work that makes this place at least attempt to function. Which is what this thon, this fundraising drive, is all around. Now, normally, normally I would be on at this time. Normally, I would have started at 1:30 and go till 3. Now, this is not discounting the previous 38 years where I was on the air from 5 to 7 a.m. We're talking about modern era. And in modern era, and by the way, this winter fund drive, I am not on during this fund drive. I'm not scheduled twice in exactly the same time slot. The program director I think, is trying out different shoe sizes for different programs. And, you know, this is something that is needed. Also, it's good to hear different people at different times. But we have heard Gary for, a great many hours today. Oh, you know, I'm not even sure which part here. Oh, I see. Yes, now I am sure. Let's, I suspect. Nope. I have to find out where Gary's broadcast is emanating from. There it is. I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong. See, I'm trying to get ready to play my theme. Oh, no, I wasn't wrong. There it is. Where else? What other radio station would be so professional as so you could be hearing? We're drawing the curtain back to let you hear how things, well, I shouldn't say operate, tend to operate. Nevertheless, I will be here until 5 a.m. along with semi-regular guest John Ordover to discuss things, speculative fiction, WBAI. We're going to play some old good stuff for you to hear. And we're going to hope that you are going to respond by pledging money. Well, that's what Gary expected. And Gary is, you know, going for those $100 pledges. You know what? We're going to go for $35 pledges. And, you know, do we have an incentive for you? We have. It's not going to be, you know, this book on health autographed or Leia Trill Pits or whatever it is that we have on our various health programs. We're going to have some live performance art that you can attend. Not in a week or anything, tonight. That is to say Thursday night. But we're going to tell you, and we, by the way, couldn't have done that if it wasn't for the fact that the station manager is actually on hand here at this moment doing menial labor. I mean, yeah, I'm talking out of turn, you know. I shouldn't be telling you this. But there are some people who are so dedicated to their work that it is staggering. To my way of thinking. I mean, I've been a volunteer here since 1967. I came into this radio station to answer phones when I was 13 years old. And if you're unlucky, you might hear my very first broadcast on Poisoned Arts later this morning. Or if you want to hear something, I think we're going to play a Poisoned Arts later, but I think we're going to hear Train of Thought. But if people demand, you can hear my radio debut. But I don't want to play it, you see. But you can force me to play it if you send in enough money. That's how it works. That's how it works. Okay? So on the one hand, our goal is definitely to entertain and to an extent inform. We're not going to be doing the hard sell at this time of night and or morning, which is what we are betwixt and between. But we are going to try to cajole you, to convince you that ours is more than a noble effort. Ours is, I've been doing this so long that we talk about the great experiment that is WBAI. But we are now, as of January 10th, been part of the Pacifica Foundation for 51 years. As of last January 10th, and by now, and Pacifica was founded in, I guess, 47. And by now, I guess we can't call it an experiment. And yet, it always continues to feel experimental because we're always sort of like teetering. And that is to say, on the brink. But, I'm going on and on and on, and I think I'd like to play my intro. Tight, huh? Good morning. This is not really Hour of the Wolf. This is a pitching shift with Jim Freund in a time that is, well, often dedicated to Hour of the Wolf. With me is John Ordover. We are going to be talking about WBAI, maybe about science fiction fantasy. And if you're real good, you might hear Neil Gaiman read and some poison darts. Stay tuned.
She picked herself a grave. She died a pure and virgin lass, for he slew her youth, the knave.
Miserere dore, miserere dore, fa sola di da. Hocus pocus, ha ha ha.
Take that lady bright, or William bid you sing. Behold her lofty angel flight, towards God and Christ the God.
From the WBAI Free Music Store, 1976, Lord help me, December 6th, 1976. Peter Schickele and friends performing in what at that time was a church that we, WBAI, actually owned and held these weekly concerts, actually twice weekly. Wednesdays weren't broadcast. The Saturday nights were. Before that, yeah, I know all this history because I've been volunteering here 43 years. Before that, we were at Martinson Hall in the Public Theater, Fridays and Saturdays starting at midnight. And actually, we packed the place. But that was, you know, the 60s. That was the Village had a lot of performances. Jazz clubs still do this. But the WBAI Free Music Store, and John is pointing at himself as if to say, you do midnight performances?
We'll do any
performances. Hold on, your mic isn't. Try that again.
We'll do any performances we can sell tickets to.
Yeah, well, yes, okay. You will be hearing, aside from the begging for money, you will be hearing mercenary notes like that throughout this show. I promise you, because I know John. I thought for 30 years, he thinks for 20, but whatever. The WBAI Free Music Store. I made a single phone call to Peter Schickele, probably better known to the world as Professor Peter Schickele, the person who has made a life study of P.D.Q. Bach. And the music that we started the show with from the soundtrack of the motion picture Silent Running is music by Peter Schickele. Most people know him, on NPR for his show Schickele Mix. Some people know him for P.D.Q. Bach, of course. But fewer people are aware of the fact that he's just a brilliant, wonderful composer of classical music. And also, by the way, of some pop music, we did two concerts together, one of which, by the way, won a Major Armstrong Award, said the producer of the concert proudly. I worked with Ira Weitzman on that. Ira is the director of the Free Music Store. Nowadays, he's a musical director of, what do they call that place? Oh, Lincoln Center. Yeah, the Lincoln Center Theater, actually. That's the Vivian Beaumont and all that. He worked on Sunday in the Park with George, which actually wasn't Lincoln Center. That was, actually very much the same personnel, including Ira. The point is that we have had great times, and with our survival, we will continue to have great times. And that music you just heard was produced here. Not at our current location on Wall Street, but at our location on 62nd Street. But produced by WBAI. And for all the years that Peter was involved with NPR, wasn't doing stuff like that. They operate very differently over there. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying that the nature of public radio and of listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio are two different things. There's a place in the world for both. But we need the money more. Well, we all do. But right now, we are asking for money for us. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with me, because I used to be on in time slots like this for a number of years. I was on midnight to five, remember 5 hour time slots, and affiliated since 1972 with the original Hour of the Wolf, as created by Margot Adler, and she did the show until 1974, after which I took over. I've been on in many different time slots, including this one, but in the last 20 years, the mere 20 years, in case you're, a newbie, listening to the station, from, Saturday mornings, 5 to 7 a.m. And then in October, after the last fundraising drive, things changed. And now I am on Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings, in this slot, usually starting at 1:30, following Robert Knight, who graciously, through negotiation, gave up half an hour of his time slot to allow for my presence, because I was originally offered a one-hour time slot. And I can't do what I need to do with this concept of a show in 1 hour. There's no way. It's pretty tough in 90 minutes, and I always felt 2 hours was a little shy. I need elbow room. When I used that phrase to our program director, Tony Bates, he said, good way of putting it. He laughed. He liked that, the idea of elbow room on the air. Well, so the premise of Hour of the Wolf is that it's a science fiction show. And when it was 5 days a week, it was not that. 2 days a week of the five were science fiction. And later on, when I went from five shows to two, because there's no way I could sustain 5 days a week, really. Adler is amazing in what she does, but I am not she. And so I moved to 2 days a week, Thursdays and Fridays, which were traditionally the science fiction mornings. Then we went to 1 day. So the idea is that we present radio dramas. We have, I might read a story on the air, or we would have a live writer hopefully alive. We would have, in other words, not actors, not people coming in to read other people's work. If somebody else was going to read somebody else's work, I would do the reading. I would be that person. Or Margot, but or Bert Searles, who was with us for many years preceding and had a mellifluous, fabulous voice. But it was just us. Otherwise, the voice that you would hear on Hour of the Wolf reading fiction to you is the author. I also, and of course there are author interviews. I was thinking at one point of bringing in for tonight an interview with a wonderful writer, Connie Willis. I have a couple of interviews. I have Connie Willis. I have Kathy Koja sitting in the can waiting to be broadcast. And they both sort of require 2 hours. And since I, in theory, had 3 hours this morning, I was thinking of it. But I thought, you know, it's not well enough publicized that I'm doing this morning. And besides, not only is it cool to go back to some things of the past, but John, who owns and operates the Soho Gallery for Digital Art, runs as host to this reading series that I have been producer of for, I guess, about 8 years now. I've been recording it from day one for either 20 or 21 years, depending on, you know, how you are counting, according to Claire Wolf Smith, and she's pretty good at this. It's been only 20, but I celebrated the 20th anniversary a year prematurely. So we're having our second 20th anniversary this year, but probably the real one. So for 20 years. And Gordon Van Gilder, who, by the way, is going to be on this show next month, founded the series. He is currently the owner and editor and publisher of the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction. Small world. I got a phone call earlier this evening, Wednesday evening, from a member of the WBAI local board asking if I wanted to go to the Park Slope to pick up a carton of old issues of the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction, among others. That's a small world. The answer is, actually, I spent many years getting rid of a lot of mine. And I, you know, they're mostly duplicates. But so, anyway, but that was a really kind thought of him. Very, very nice thought. So, anyway, I thought it would be appropriate to perhaps play a reading from the New York Review of Science Fiction readings, and we may very well do so. So who do we have for that? A fellow by the name of Neil Gaiman. This is one of Claire Wolf's. She was Claire Wolf at the time, now Claire Wolf Smith, and was, in fact, I think, the December show in the fifth season, so it's 15 years old. Neil was well known at the time. Now he's a god. How would you describe Neil, John? I pull the mic closer to you, by the way.
Yes, dear.
Better.
Okay. How would I describe? You mean how Neil is thought of, or my personal impression of Neil?
Well, how Neil is thought of. How? What is he to the world at large? Not just the science fiction community, but I guess first famous for his graphic novels.
Well, he was first famous for his comic books.
Aha.
His comic books, because he did a reinvention of the pre-existing DC character Sandman, which was actually created by Jack Kirby.
So that was not his.
Yes, but the Sandman that Jack Kirby created was totally different, although Neil does, in fact, sort of explain him in one of the early issues of Sandman.
So it's a reboot.
Yes. Yes.
Well, today we would call a reboot.
Yeah, but it sort of explains the previous incarnation.
Gives it a backstory that it had not really.
Right. But there were a lot of British authors coming in to do reboots of older characters, like Alan Moore rebooted Swamp Thing, and Grant Morrison rebooted first Animal Man and then Doom Patrol, and Neil Gaiman came in with the new concept for Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
That if you go back to the earliest issues, it's sort of, he was sort of inventing it as he went along.
Right.
And it became, I thought, something really exquisite when he sort of moved the title character into the background and started telling stories about various people who were having various things that crossed over into the supernatural and that would enter the realm of that Sandman controlled in one way or another.
So, so basically the satellite characters started taking the foreground in certain stories.
Right. It was, he would always come around to the Sandman eventually, but it was people who were, sometimes you'd go two or three issues and you wouldn't actually see the Sandman character. You would just be following the soap opera, with no denigration meant, the interplay of the lives of a particular set of characters that would in some way cross over into the land of dreams that Sandman controlled, and so would interact with him in that way. And anyone who knows the comic book field knows that it's very rare for the title character not to appear in the book at all for issues at a time.
Right.
But that was what allowed sort of him...
Strictly comic books. This is not... This is before the graphic novels started becoming a major form.
Right. It wasn't created as a graphic novel. It was later collected into things which people now call graphic novels.
Sort of like what the X-Men, what Chris
or any
Claremont.
Other series now. Any 12 issue, anything with more than 12 issues gets collected into what's now called a graphic novel.
Okay, but they weren't written that way. They weren't comic written that books. Way.
There are, in fact, very few graphic novels that were actually written as graphic novels.
Mm.
The vast, vast majority are collections.
Well, Watchmen, for example, is a classic example. Wasn't that a graphic novel?
No, that was 12 issues of a comic book. If you look through the graphic novel, you'll see that it has the front and back covers of each of the issues of the comic book.
Okay.
Watchmen is now a graphic novel. But
if Ken Gale were here at the moment, he would be like beating me over the head. And Jim, you should know this.
You should.
Yeah, well, that's why I have you or Ken Gale and people like that on with me.
And Sandman got better and better and better and better as it went along, and it really made a name for Neil. And then he did other comic book work, and then he moved from there to a collaboration with Terry Pratchett on Good Omens.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is that he turned to prose.
Right.
He moved from the comic book, from the graphic industry, to prose, which is actually unusual. I mean, Chris Claremont has done it.
There are a lot of people...
But Neil has done it with extreme success.
Well, there are a lot of people who dabbled in both, like Max Allen Collins has written a lot of comic books in his time. But and a lot of movie tie-ins and a lot of original novels.
Yeah, but I mean, novels like American Gods, these are bestsellers.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Neil, Good Omens did very, very well. Boy, that was supposed to be a movie for years. I wonder what's up with the rights on that. Never got made.
I have no idea.
Make a wonderful movie.
I don't know. So much of it is in what the characters are thinking and in little observations. Like, what is it? Every cassette tape left in a car long enough transforms into the best of ABBA or something.
Yes, right.
Like that. Yeah, and that's things that are sure very, very hard. Yes. And if you just boiled it down to the plot, you would lose 99% of what.
Yeah, but I mean, given the right screenwriter,
it's still, you know.
And Neil knows how to convert the stuff to screen. And I must say that they've done two of the Discworld books. Three, actually, have been turned into normal, he said, wiggling his fingers, normal TV movies. Actually, each two-parters, each one 4 hours long. And the first two were fabulous. Going Postal, I did not think was as good as The Color of Magic or...
the book after The Color of Magic.
That was in one.
Right.
Light, Fantastic, and Color of Magic were done together as one TV movie. No, the one with where Susan, the granddaughter of Death, has to take over for her grandfather as the Grim Reaper. And it's
And just to be clear, these are Terry Pratchett's books, not Neil Gaiman's.
Yeah, these are Terry Pratchett, Good Omens was a wonderful collaboration, and the point is that they're very adaptable. And Neil, at this point, has had varying success with the movies, mostly successful. Coraline did well. Mirror Mask, nobody has heard of, but I think it's a very good movie. What was the big budget film, aside from Coraline? It's only been a couple of years ago, live action.
So far that doesn't know.
Ricky Gervais.
Do you mean the
Peter O'Toole? Come on. Neil Gaiman movie.
You got me.
Okay, I'll have to go over here and look it up. It was a big deal movie. This used to be your field, John.
Not movies.
Not movies. Well, peripherally. John was at one point the editor at Pocketbooks of the Star Trek franchise, which weren't movies, it was television. But yeah, but you had to deal a lot with Paramount. You had to be up in that stuff. Right?
Huh? Sorry, I wasn't listening. No. Who wrote what is something I've somewhat lost track of over the years, especially with regards to Hollywood when you can't tell.
Well, of course he wrote Beowulf.
Right.
Stardust.
Right.
Right. Stardust, big movie. I had some issues with it, but parts of it are a lot of fun. But it was certainly a faithful adaptation, considering that he wrote it, of what he did. And then there was the TV series, one of his first things, Neverwhere, which if people get a chance to see, it sort of peters out by the sixth episode. But it's a lot of fun, and it's well done, on no budget.
Now that you mention, I think sort of Neil Gaiman's writing for the movies followed sort of what the pattern of his work on Sandman, in that he was sort of feeling out the form.
Mm-hmm.
And by Coraline, he had gotten it.
Yeah, that's fair. But what he has been doing with novels, I think that American Gods stands up as one of the great speculative fiction books.
I think it is an excellent book, and I think it
not
unintentionally covers a lot of the ground that was already covered by Matt Wagner in the Mage comic book series.
Ah, okay, which I'm not familiar with, and that might be part of the issue there. But American Gods, you know, it brings it to a different medium.
Right.
The printed word.
Right.
There are, I doubt that anybody could go through American Gods and not find a tip of the hat everywhere. That should be an annotated book. Margot just finally, recently, she had to take a week off from reading vampire novels. And for those who've been following her exploits on National Public Radio, the last 140 books that Margot Adler has read are vampire novels. And not because she's just stuck on this thing, but, you know, she's doing it almost as a sociological study. And also a political thing. And it's very interesting. She's been doing talks lately on the topic and saying, and it's not what you think. It's not just vampirism as rape or other things. She has some very interesting takes, which you will hear on these airwaves sometime soon, actually. She did them on the very last episode of the 5 to 7 a.m. Hour of the Wolf, which is still available at ourwolf.com. If you go there, you can hear the last episode of the 5 to 7 a.m. show. There are two parts. And the second part is all Margot talking about her vampire thing. Getting back to Neil Gaiman. Some of his stuff is just utterly extraordinary.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. And he's also, by the way, an excellent reader, a good-looking guy. Is anybody, you know, actually, looking at him on the radio?
He looks like the,
he looks like a rock star.
He looks like Sandman. And when I challenged him on that, he said, "Except I've got eyes."
Ah,
which Sandman didn't. But he looks a heck of a lot like Sandman.
Does he really? Okay.
Yes.
Who was the illustrator on Sandman at that
point? It changed. I don't recall. Yeah. But the look until the last issues when he sort of rebooted it again, the look for Sandman was consistent throughout the...
Yeah. But there, I think similarities, and I'm not that familiar with Sandman. I'm not that familiar at all with Neil's comic books, but I am with his writing. And from what I understand of what he did with Sandman and what he does in American Gods, and going off on these wonderful peripheral stories and tales within tales and things like that, I believe he uses a similar form between the two of them.
I'd agree.
And
you can tell it's him.
Yeah, and the second time I read American Gods, I gave it about 2 years apart. And the second time I read it, I read the book in one hand and an e-reader, an online reader in the other hand, where I could go to a website and look at some fans' annotations. There are about, I would say, 30 or 40 different gods that somehow were brought by immigrants to American shores. If you follow the, both Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett have the idea that what makes a god is the belief in them. The more people that believe in a god, the stronger that god is. But Neil has the idea that, well, you know, not all these gods will exist on this continent unless somebody brought them over. So if, for example, the African god Anansi, who has his own book by Neil, the Anansi Boys, only has like, you know, 20 followers. He's not necessarily as powerful a god as Votan or Odin or however you... And there might even be an Odin versus a Woden, depending on how that god is worshipped. It's a wonderful premise and a wonderful idea. And if you're at all interested in mythology or comparative religion, which is at a certain point what a lot of mythology is, then the book is just this wonderful thing. And for those people that are familiar with Margot Adler and her various interests, you can, it was a good read for her.
Larry Niven actually, in The Magic Goes Away, establish several gods who lived off the belief of their...
Yeah. Well, Larry Niven is a hard science fiction writer, meaning that he really thinks about the science in his stuff. And so when he took on utter magical fantasy with no basis for science, he made up the rules for the magic that are as rigid as the rules for science, which is what I thought made The Magic Goes Away so much fun.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that he played with. So the point is, we have a recording of Neil Gaiman from the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings that I now produce, that John Ordover now hosts, which is actually from when Claire Wolfe Smith produced and Dixon Place at that time hosted. And we went from Dixon Place to the South Street Seaport Museum to the Soho Gallery for Digital Art is the I'm sorry, Joe Monti had the New York Theater Workshop for one season. And he had Ursula K. Le Guin there. I mean, he did okay. So what I'm trying to do a lot, by the way, is have the people who've curated the series over the years and just sort of force them to do like one a year or something like that. And I've bringing in new curators. And that has been worked out insofar as the last one that we were going to have one at the beginning of this month, but it was snowed out. Andrea Hairston, Pan Morgan instead. And we have to reschedule that. So the last one we had was Gary Steingart and Rick Moody, who are both major bestseller selling writers. And we had a nice turnout. You weren't there for that, were you, John?
For
Moody and Steingart?
No.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, we filled your place. We filled your place, the top floor. There are two floors at the Soho Gallery for Digital Art. And John will have me saying available for rent, but I'm not going to do it. There are two available. The premise of the gallery, by the way, is just way cool. Way cool. So here's the deal. You want to go to the gallery? You want to see a very neat, nifty performance? So nifty, I'm probably going to go myself tonight. And when we say tonight, in how many hours we can start a countdown?
The show starts about the musical aspect of it that we're
the show about. Starts at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
he said, looking at the website.
Right, but the Soho Dig Art is both a combination of it's thematically connected art and then a musical.
Okay, so it starts. The point is,
yeah,
it starts in 15 hours and 10 minutes.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at.
Right.
So.
It's instant gratification.
Yes, or close to. If you pledge to WBAI now, make a pledge, you can attend the performance tonight. And instead of making it, you know, the $100 premiums or anything, and thanks to the fact that we actually had the station manager on hand, we were able to, because John called me about this on Monday or Tuesday, and I said, it's like, you know, past the deadline. It was past the deadline, but not when you've got the station manager right on hand to say, I approve.
And the name of the show is?
A Trip to Coney Island with Uncle Zero Boy. And how would you describe it?
It's almost inimitable. I would suggest.
Well, one person says Zero Boy shows like Bugs Bunny going through history, and what little I've seen of it is sort of like in the métier of fire sign theater and actually Duck's Breath Mystery Theater. For those people who remember them, from what little I have seen of Zero Boy, it feels like that kind of zany, wonderful. Cross-referencing, kind of fun, neat, weird stuff.
Well, he tells a story, in this case about a trip to Coney Island in its heyday, and as he goes along, he does his own sound effects. Damning with faint praise, but it's sort of like the guy in Police Academy movies who does his own sound effects.
Yeah, well. Yeah, except there's a story.
Yeah, except there's a really cool story.
Okay, so I wouldn't compare him to, what was his name, Winston?
Or I don't
Winston
remember.
Something. Whatever. The fact that he can do that is, I mean, there's lots of people who do that, actually.
Right.
The guy who I had on the show, Charles Ross, who did the one-man Star Wars.
Right.
You know, he did all the special effects and all the roles from and I noticed this guy, by the way, does Jabba the Hutt.
Right.
So that's a fair comparison. So at any rate, the point is that these tickets, if you wanted to buy right now a pair of tickets, you can go to SohoDigArt.com and they would cost you $40 for two tickets. However, if you subscribe to WBAI, if you donate $35 to WBAI, $5 less, you can have a pair of tickets for tonight. So, I mean, that's not just a discount. That's ridiculous. And you become a member of WBAI, and you tell the management here that this is a kind of radio and thing that you appreciate. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hold at this point at Ransom, Neil Gaiman's reading. In other words, we will put on that reading after we get at least a few phone calls pledging $35 at area code 212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950. We have hundreds of people standing by right now to take your call. Actually, there's one. And as soon as we start getting some calls coming in, and I know that we're, you know, it's almost 3 a.m. I am not going to be doing the hard sell. We need to make, you know, $1,000 in the next 10 minutes. But I do expect to see a few of these tickets move. I do expect the people listening now, especially if you're listening at this hour, to know a little something about what is WBAI. I don't think that you're just, you know, tuning in the radio while you're doing your ironing and passing or something. I think you're probably a cab driver, a regular listener, an artist, somebody who is familiar with 99.5 FM and has been for a number of years, if not this particular show, at least the station itself and how eclectic and bizarre and wonderful this station can be. So I think you know the reasons. I think that you are going to say, hey, a $35 premium, two tickets to a show Thursday night, tonight, in a few hours. And it really sounds like a fun show. I genuinely mean that. I at this point, I'm actually intending on attending. But despite that, you should go anyway. And you do that. As I said, these tickets are valued at $20 each. John is donating admission to his space, the Soho Gallery for Digital Art. At by the way, it's in, well, the name sort of says it, right? It's in Soho. And if, by the way, you're listening to us over the internet, you and not in New York, you're unlikely to be able to take, you know, the instant gratification of attending tonight's performance. But you probably can. You probably can still make a donation and make it count. The telephone number is 212-209-2950. So far, we're still waiting. And that's also the thing. We've got some cool entertainments for you. We have some music. We have some radio drama. And also, by the way, John and I are pretty good at taking phone calls and talking to people about media science fiction and regular science fiction. And, oh, God, you want us to talk Star Trek? You've got the right person in the room. So that would be me. No, that would be John, who was in charge of the books for a number of years.
11
years. And the good years. The good years of those books. I mean,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Are they still turning any of those out?
Yes. Not at the rate we were when I was there.
Well, you were doing at least one a month, weren't you?
I was doing, between the e-books, the regular books, we were doing...
How many titles
between 35 and 50 in a given year.
Wow. Okay.
So that's 3 or 4 months. Star Trek, one way or another.
That's 3 or 4 months.
Right.
Okay. And most, I mean, there are entire publishers, major publishers, who turn out two science fiction titles a month. So it has to be understood just how major an output that actually is. 212-209-2950. As I was saying, the point is that you can listen to me pitch and beg for money, or we can take phone calls about cool things, or we can listen to Neil Gaiman, and later on, perhaps some Poisoned Arts. But how long this takes and how much fun it's going to be and all that is dependent on getting at least a few calls coming in. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Make that call now. It is 2:58 in the morning here in New York City, and you can make that call from pretty much anywhere in the world, and I know that people do, because we actually get phone calls on this show fairly regularly from one fellow in Bulgaria, a few people from Boston, and one person in Canada. So, and those are the regular calls. So you can call pretty much from anywhere, you know, thanks to the reach of the internet and the fellow in Bulgaria calling, you know, thanks to the, that's also an internet-based call to at least donate something to make sure that this radio station and this program are kept alive on the air. But no calls, we just beg. Calls, we start giving you the wares. Not the whys, but the wares. We start giving you the goods of people like Neil Gaiman. You know, there aren't too many radio stations that you can tune in and hear somebody like Neil Gaiman read original fiction to you. We will give you an entire short story read by the author. Which, by the way, Max Schmee did an incredible job. It was recorded on an old Sony tape recorder that was running low on batteries. And so as the reading went on, it started becoming a little less intelligible. And it wasn't just a degradation of this thing getting slow so that you could put it into a variable speed player. It was getting increasingly slow so that you actually had to come up with a mathematical algorithm in order to get the right speed. Max did a fabulous job on that. 212-209-2950. And what will happen, by the way, is, as I mentioned, we also have poisoned arts. We also have things to discuss. And after a certain time, and I haven't set that time yet. It's now 3, by the way, over WBAI New York. Got to get this. Yeah, if you acknowledge the exact time, you'd better do a station break there. I will take that off the block. I will say, okay, you know what? That didn't work this morning. We'll try for something else. So in other words, it's not going to be like I'm going to beg for a long time and then finally play the thing. It's like, what do you think, 3:10? 10 minutes?
Until you play the thing?
Or yeah, well, there's going to be a point where I'm going to take it off the block and say, okay, that didn't work. We'll move on to something else. You're not listening. The point is,
who said that?
Get some energy up. 212-209-2950. Call now. If we don't get any calls, if we don't get any pledges in the next 10 minutes, we ain't going to do it. It's not going to be just like, okay, we're going to wait for half an hour and do it. Call now. 212-209-2950. Zero. Time's a ticking. Time's a wasting. We need your call. We need your pledge. $35, $25 is a normal pledge to WBAI to make you a listener sponsor. I think that's ridiculous. I think that, you know, when I started at WBAI in 1967, it was $45. $25 if you were student, retired, or unemployed. And there became this classist thing, you know, and all that. So they dropped the price to $25. Well, we are in such desperate need of money. I don't understand why our owners, Pacifica Radio in Pacifica, California, which is, of course, where Starfleet is based, haven't raised the price to $45 or $50. $25 is nothing. For a mere $10 more, $35, you can get 40, not only become a subscriber to WBAI, but you can get two tickets alone worth $40. To the, a trip to Coney Island with Uncle Zero Boy being performed at the Soho Gallery for Digital Art tonight. 212-209-2950. I have set the time limit, and this offer basically has not the offer to the pledge, but the offer to play the Neil Gaiman thing if you pledge. It's ticking away. We now have 8 minutes left. 212-209-2950. We need that call now. We need that pledge now. Or there will be another show on a non-pitching morning at a time when you're probably not listening, when it's going to be on. This, by the way, is something that is not available on the internet. It's not available anywhere else but WBAI. And to sort of make sure that it doesn't stay available, I will contact the people who run our website and say, please take this off the archive. I don't want this being spread absolutely everywhere. I mean, you can't stop it from getting out. It does. Information wants to be free. But the point is that it isn't widely available. Neil Gaiman's readings are rare. They're wonderful. He's a very good performer. There are few people. Harlan Ellison is one. Neil Gaiman is another. There are few writers who have the verve and the performance capability to do it. And this is one. And no calls coming in, so I guess we're not going to hear it. If you want to hear it, call now. 212-209-2950 is the phone number. I'm just going to make sure, by the way, that this is actually working. 212-209-2950. I want to make sure that last time, 2 weeks ago, that I pitched, I couldn't actually see or hear the calls coming in. I'm going to make sure that isn't the case now and dial it myself. But you can dial it with me, 212-209-2950. Yep. I know I can hear it. I'm hanging up now. So we will know if you're calling or not. No, I didn't see it light up over there, but I did hear it. Could you? Yeah. I know you could because it was on the air. Come on, make that call now. 212-209-2950 or be bored. What can I say? 212-209-2950. Please make that call now. Support WBAI. Support the things that we bring you. You've been hearing about the health things that WBAI broadcast. You heard earlier tonight from the Personal Computer Show. I don't think we even have to tell you about, you know, the fact that we bring you things as eclectic as Democracy Now! And the only place, certainly in New York, and I think between us and our sister station in Washington, the only radio station, the only broadcast outlet that has Al Jazeera news. There is no other radio station. It is us. Otherwise, it's, I think, satellite TV is the only source. And by the way, we produce that. Yeah, you know, it's produced, of course, in Qatar, wherever it comes from. But we are the ones that edit it and make it a radio show. That is work that is done here. So this stuff costs money. To run a radio station in New York City costs money. And that is why we have basically 4 minutes left, in which to get your phone call. Or else we move on to another topic. You don't get to hear Neil Gaiman. That's basically what is at risk here. 212-209-2950. 4 minutes left. You know, I will keep the thing going. I will keep the option of playing the Neil Gaiman if we get at least one, maybe two calls. It's not asking a lot. 212-209-2950. There comes a point. We've given you the logic. We've given you the means. There is nothing else to say but the phone number and to say, hey, where are you? Come on. I know it's 3 a.m. I also know that there's a lot of people right now. I had the misfortune to be out last night until like 4 or 5 in the morning. And I saw how many people were out. I know how many people are out. I used to be completely a night bird. And, you know, 5 to 7 a.m. is really a morning show. This show is a nighttime show. There's a lot of you out there. 212-209-2950. We have 2.5 minutes left, or else we take a Neil Gaiman reading the boy who traded his father in for 2 goldfish. That's the name of the story that he read. That comes off the shelf. And we move on to talking about movies and poisoned arts. You know, in other words, I'm not going to say we're not going to do anything, but I am saying that this one thing, which is a very, very special thing, the poisoned arts thing, you can hear online. In fact, we're probably going to go online to play it for you. But this Neil Gaiman thing is rare. It is cool. It is a special treat. And trust me, you will like it. And you'll get tickets to a trip to Coney Island with Uncle Zero Boy for this evening with a pledge of $35 or more. 2 minutes left. 212-209-2950. I'm not going to hard sell it much anymore. I'm not going to push it much anymore, because if it ain't going to happen, it ain't going to happen. But somehow I have the feeling that you people listening would like it to happen. But this is interactive radio. This is, you have to take the next step. I am putting it out there. I am offering it to you. I am holding it up for ransom. This is something that happens during fundraising drives. It's not like, you know, you watch, you know, they've even stopped doing that on some public TV and things like that, where they interrupt the shows in the middle. They now do a little bit more of, here's what we do, now pay for it. And this is what we're trying to do this morning. The idea that we're not just going to yell at you, we're trying to give you the good stuff, some of the best stuff that we have to offer. But you have to call now to pledge. 212-209-2950. Call now, pledge now. There's basically a minute left. Then I'm going to, you know, take a cut of music, retrench, figure out where we're going to go from here. But I need your call. Or we move on. 212-209-2950. Need the number again? I don't think so. 212-209-2950. $35 for a year of WBAI. Is not a lot, especially if you're going to get with that tickets worth $40, right? So let's count down together, right? Yeah, it's 3:10, assuming our clocks here are right, which they never are. But I think that we can call that a bust. I think we can move on from here and say, okay, I guess not enough people want to hear Neil Gaiman this morning. I think that's awfully strange. For those of you who are familiar, maybe you've looked him up by now. The explanation we gave earlier just didn't do it, huh? Okay, we're going to retrench over here and play some music. Folky, jazzy, what do you think, John?
Folky.
Okay. Well, geez. I get to play music so rarely nowadays. Pentangle, Phil Oakes, Steel Eye Span.
Phil Oakes.
Go along with the movie. Okay. Here's some classic Oakes. We'll be back shortly.
Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merrymen their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night. All the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, time, time with a sort of runic rhyme. From the tintinnabulation that so musically wells. From the bells, 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 bells. From the jingling and the tinkling of the bells. Hear the mellow wedding bells, golden bells. What a world of happiness their harmony foretells. Through the balmy air of night, how they ring out their delight. Through the dances and the yells and the rapture that impels. How it swells, how it dwells on the future, how it tells. From the swinging and the ringing of the molten golden bells. Of the bells, 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 bells. Of the rhyming and the chiming of the bells.